For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Yeah, you guys look nicer than me. See, I just dressed in my same old clothes and you guys all dude it up, you know. And, well, thank you. I'm me, you know. This is me most of the days of the year. So put some tennis shoes and blue jeans on me. The other day I had a suit on and I had to call somebody. I had to make a hospital call. I did a political thing and I was going to make a hospital call. And I had to warn them ahead of time that this wasn't last rites because I had a suit on. I always said, if you're in the hospital and see me come up with a suit on, it's over, baby. It's over. You know, this is last rites time is what this is, you know, because I don't wear that very much. So tonight, I'm sad to say we will not be streaming the service. So you're either here or you just don't ever see it again. It just goes away. So Christmas Eve is one big party here. But bring Kleenex, you're going to cry a little bit, and you're going to laugh a little bit. And we've got an illustrated sermon for children tonight. So it's going to be really, tonight, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so you'd have a little time. I'm not going to teach without my notes. I forgot my note. Hey, terrific. That's interesting. Well, we got some stuff to do here this morning, and let's just pray this prayer right here, and that is, Father God, whether they come back tonight or not, you have a word for us this morning. Use me once again as your vessel, flow through me. I am open, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. The word we hear mentioned the most this time of the year is not Jesus, it's not Christ, it's not Santa, it's gifts. That's the byword, gifts. Everybody's worried about buying the right gift, finding the right gift, will they like my gift, how much is my gift going to cost, what store carries it. Now, it's all about gifts, unfortunately. Now, how many of you older people remember some of these popular gifts in 1969? Number one, Chatty Cathy dolls. Anybody get one of those? You get one? You pull the string and their favorite phrase was, I love you. Ken doll. A guy said, oh yeah, you got a Ken doll over there? Just kidding. Barbie's dream house. How about Easy Bake Oven? Oh yeah, I wanted one of those. G.I. Joe doll. How about the Whammo Super Ball? Now the Whammo Super Ball had polybutene, had hydrated silica, zinc oxide, stearic acid, but boy did it bounce high. We probably got poisoned, but it bounced high. Most popular toys in 1950 was pogo stick. I could do it 300 times, I remember, without falling. I love my pogo stick. Mr. Potato Head? How about Gumby? Play-Doh? How many of you got a hula hoop for Christmas? In the 1910s, the most popular gift was a teddy bear. 1920s was a yo-yo. I had one of those that would spin and make noise. 1930s, Shirley Temple doll. And 1940s, guess what the most popular gift was? A slinky. You had to have stairs for a slinky, do you remember? It would go down the stairs. But they always got, in time, somebody would stretch them all out of shape and you'd try to put them back together. Now, I read the other day about some of the worst Christmas presents. And one young man wrote in, he said, I was in my mother and dad's bedroom one night and I was playing all my old video games and I left them in there and forgot. And my mother saw them and thought my dad bought them for me for Christmas. So that was my Christmas present. She wrapped them all up and he got his old video games. One girl said, my worst Christmas present was a gift card from my grandma to a lingerie store. She said, it wasn't the gift that was bad, but when I found out, she sent my 18-year-old brother in to buy it. And said, according to him, the conversation went like this. The girl behind the counter said, and you're shopping for your girlfriend? He said, no, my sister. He said, excuse me, I'm sorry, it's my grandma. Awkward silence. She wouldn't talk to him anymore. One person wrote in and said, my uncle gave me a giant block of cement and a small hammer and a chisel. He had hidden little coins and little jewels in the cement and said he was a strange fellow. Now, I want you to know, on the first Christmas, we got blessed with the best gift that mankind could ever get. Those people in that century that visited the Lord Jesus and knew about his birth had no clue how big of a gift baby Jesus was. Amen. Look at Titus 3. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior, God stepped in, he saved us from all of that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives, and there's more life to come, an eternity of life to come. I'm telling you, gang, Jesus was the best gift ever given to mankind. And all of our giving should come out of that we've been blessed with a very, very best gift. Now, for a gift to be perfect, three things need to be true. Number one, a perfect gift needs to be personal. I remember some time ago, someone bought me a really personal gift. They bought me all these different hot sauces from all over the world. And I mean, boy, some of them were hot. But they knew something about me. They knew that I'm one of those people that I don't like to eat unless my eyes are watering and sweat's dripping off my forehead. That's me. There are some people this year that I will give Starbucks certificates to because I know they're coffee addicts. If people like to read, I might buy them a good book. Now, God sent the Savior for us to save us from ourselves. And he knows that sin that so easily besets all of us. And he's tailored Christ's gift to be what we need individually to work against that besetting sin and set us free from that. As I look back over my life and the sins that were destroying my life, today I can sit here and tell you proudly, only by God's grace, that none of those sins lord over me anymore, because Jesus, my Savior, set me free. He's true to his word. He set me free from those things. Look at Luke 2 and 11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you individually a Savior who is Christ Jesus the Lord. Hebrews 4, 15, 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. I'm telling you, when God sent us a Savior, when he sent us the gift of Jesus, he knew all of our needs. He knew that I needed forgiveness. He knew that you needed forgiveness. He knew that Ronnie needed a good spouse. He knew that I would need wisdom and self-control and peace. And he gave all of that to me. It's been said, and some of you have probably heard this before, but it says that If God thought our greatest need was technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If God thought our greatest need was pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. If God thought our greatest need was money, he would have sent us an economist. But God knew that our greatest need was forgiveness, so he sent us a Savior, Jesus Christ. Next, a perfect gift needs to come from someone who loves you. Now, just to know that this year, someone loved me enough to go out there and fight all of that insanity out there, all of that traffic, all of those crowded stores, but they loved me enough to go out and do that. That means a lot. I was kind of bored the other night and I was watching that show on TV, Alaskan Frontier. It's a reality show. And it was their Christmas show, and I wanted to see how do they celebrate Christmas away up in Alaska. And they drew names and they went out and made gifts for one another. Did anybody see that show? It was pretty cool. It's pretty cool. One guy wanted to make this gift that required to have a heating unit to heat some metal and stuff, and he took a microwave apart, I think, and took the elements out and made something to do some like woodwork and everything for somebody to personalize a gift. They went out and found logs, and they went out and found rocks, and they went out. There was a lot of thought that went into these presents that they made for other people. See, God sent his son to be a gift for you, because he loved you that much that he did not want to see you destroy yourself. And he knew you needed the gift of his son so that wouldn't happen. God loves you so much. I tried to tell my son and daughter-in-law, they had never had a baby yet. And I said, you know what? I kept telling them. I said, when you have a child, you will know how much God loves you, because you will love that child so much so that I can't even explain to you the love of a parent for a child until you have one. And then when you have one, you will know that's your heart walking around out there. Isn't that right? That's the way it is. Well, it's hard for me to comprehend that as much as we love our children, God even loves us more. Unbelievable. Max Lucado was the one who wrote that if God has a calendar, your birthday is circled on it. If God has a car, your name's on the bumper. The proud parent of. If God has a tree in heaven, your name's carved on it. And in fact, you know what the Bible tells us about tattoos? Look at this, Isaiah 49:16a. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Our names have been tattooed on the palms of his hands. The Bible says he loves us so much, he even knows every hair, the number of hairs on our head. And for some of you, that's three. I can't even begin to comprehend the love that God has for us. Last, a perfect gift needs to be sacrificial. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he couldn't contain himself, and he had to give his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How sacrificial is your gifts this year? Are your gifts? I mean, for some of us, you know, $100 isn't that sacrificial. You can throw money at gifts, and that's fine. A lot of us do that. But Christmas is even a lot more than that. Some of you, Knowing Valley Bible people, probably haven't started your shopping yet. You're probably going to go do it today. But if you haven't got gifts for people yet, or you want to add to those gifts, how about a card? Just buying a card today and writing on there, you will never know how much I love you. I thought of every gift in the world, but I couldn't find one gift that could show the amount of love I have for you. I love you. You know what that would mean? Oh my gosh. That'd be more important than a gift, probably. Now again, with all the internet audience, the thousands out there in the different campuses, I hate to inform you, but more than likely, for some of you, those people at this Christmas time are not going to be with you next year. With all the people I'm speaking to, that's going to be true for a lot of people, because accidents happen. Car accidents, shootings, cancer, disease. And I don't say that to bring you down and to be a bummer today, but man, love the people around you this year. You don't know they're going to be here next year. You really don't. Give them everything you have this year. I thought of some more suggestions about some very meaningful gifts. And you still have time to do these, but what about theater tickets for two? And you say, I'm gonna keep one and I'm giving you one because it would mean everything in the world to spend an afternoon with you. Wow. One of the best gifts I ever got is when I was diagnosed with leukemia and didn't know if I was gonna live very long. And Josh gave me a gift of two tickets to the Rose Bowl. And it was just me and him, me and him. You remember those kind of things forever. You never forget those kind of things. I went to Pinterest to see about some thoughtful gifts, and they said, a plant with an inscription on it, thanks for helping me grow. And every time I see that plant grow, they'll think of you. A pick-me-up jar with 50 scriptures in it. One person went and got a map of the United States, traced it, cut a piece of wood out with a map of the United States and put on there, home is where my mom is. Cool. A breakfast card for two. And say again, if you do the honor of having breakfast with me, it means everything in the world. I just want to be around you because I love you more than words can tell. You still have time to do that. You still have time to honor someone. I'll never forget, it happened 25, 30 years ago, and it happened like yesterday. Isn't that funny when you have these defining moments and you can still remember them like they were yesterday? It was probably, well, maybe 35. It was a long time ago when we were over in Monterey and King, and I was going on vacation that year, and this little elderly woman all bent over came up. She was shaking, and she was crying with joy. And I said, what? She said, I was looking through all my old stuff yesterday, going through envelopes and going through my drawers trying to find enough money for a half a gallon of milk, and I came across this $20, and I wanted to give it to you to spend on your vacation. Ah. I can't take this. I can't. And God spoke to me so real and said, look at her. She is beside herself with joy. Don't you rob her from this gift. Amen. Oh, that was one of the hardest things I've ever done. He said, I will give back to her. I tried to give it back and she wouldn't take it. It meant so much to her. Sacrificial gifts. I mean, I try to be a really good guy, and I'll never forget the year that I went out of my way to buy my wife an electric drill because I love holding the ladder for her while she's fixing stuff. That's real. That's true. I did that. See, I'm comfortable with my skin, guys. I'm comfortable, man. I'm secure. Debbie fixes everything around the house. I hold the ladder. That's just the way it is. You insecure guys, you can't say that, can you? I can't. Leslie Flynn, in the book on worship, said they set up a collection agency at a school to collect goods, food, and everything for the poor people in the Appalachian area. And said, after they got all the collections from the school, he was in the back, and several of us, he said, were together, and we were separating the canned beans from the flour. We were separating the beans from the flour, and then the canned beans from the canned meat. We were separating all that, and said, out fell a little brown bag. And I thought, well, one of these students didn't stay with the list, did they? And opened up the bag, and in the bag was a peanut butter sandwich, an apple, and a cookie. And it said, from Christy, room 104, in crayon. That is sacrificial giving. That is. I read a story this week about a couple that was so poor that they couldn't afford to purchase a Christmas present for one another. And so the guy had this one prized possession. It was a stopwatch. And he went and sold it so he could buy a comb for his wife's long, beautiful hair. Unbeknownst to him, she had her hair cut, sold the hair to a wig maker so she could buy him a chain for his stopwatch, a gold chain. Is that true? Probably not. It's kind of cheesy, but hey, you try to preach twice on Sunday. I got to preach again at 3:00, okay? I take them as I get them, all right? That was cheesy. But it might have happened. Who knows? It gets the point across. Sacrificial giving. Now, in closing, here are some gifts that Jesus gave me that I couldn't live without. And the first one is heaven. I could not live without heaven. Look at John 14, 1 through 4. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, hey, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Heaven will actually be, by far, the best thing that's ever happened to you when you die. You take up until now the best thing that's ever happened to you and multiply it by 10,000 times. That'll be heaven. How many of you have loved ones waiting for you there? Oh my God, how could I even go to a funeral if I didn't believe in heaven? How could I let my loved ones walk out of the door in the morning time if I didn't believe in heaven? I mean, think about it. We're gonna see our children, some of us, our parents, our brothers, our sisters. Oh my gosh, I can't even describe what that moment's gonna be like. For some of you have lost children, to have a child say, Mommy, Mommy, Dad, I'm over here, Dad, Mom. And then we just hug each other for 9 years. We don't even let go for 9 years. I mean, what a time that'll be. We'll see Christ, the one who died for us. We will never die again. My friends, that's not a fairy tale. That is very, very, very true. How much would a rich person pay to live forever? Probably give you everything they have. And yet the Bible says it is totally free. If you give your life to God, that's just one of the fringe benefits. It's real, it's real. All the near-death experiences, the millions of them, verify that there is life beyond this life. I'm not saying they're all authentic, but it verifies the fact there's life beyond this life. Jesus tells us, Paul tells us, you go to the bookstore and you'll see stores from atheists, diehard doctor atheists who didn't believe in all this nonsense, and then they had a death and beyond experience. Everybody knows that there's life beyond this life. But the Bible says those that believe in Jesus will live with him forever and ever and ever and ever. I couldn't live without, I'm sorry, I don't know how people die. I don't know how they let their loved ones die without this hope. And the Christmas story, there are several main characters, and I have preached on this several times through 43 years or 45 years. But there's one main character in the Christmas story that really gets my attention, and his name is Herod. Herod wanted Jesus destroyed. Herod did not want that first Christmas to take place. He wanted to take Jesus out of the Christmas story, wanted to destroy him and kill him. I heard about a mall in the United States the other day, I read about it, where they had a nativity scene and somebody keeps stealing baby Jesus. So they keep putting baby Jesus out and someone keeps stealing him. So then they chained baby Jesus to the manger. And someone cut the chain and stole him again. So now they have guards all night long in the mall that stand there all night to guard baby Jesus and make sure that he stays in that manger. Isn't that where a lot of people want him to stay? Right in the manger. They don't want him to come out of that manger. They want to keep him in the nativity scene. But I'm here to tell you, gang, that Jesus didn't stay in that manger. He came out of that manger, grew up, and was a sacrifice for my sins, and now he lives inside of me. I told you last Christmas, isn't that crazy? Mary's another character. It's very interesting. She's the only one that ever carried her baby twice. Carried him in the womb, and on the day of Pentecost, she was in the upper room, and he came back and lived inside of her again. Wow. Go home and think about that one for a while. You mamas. But going back to Herod, he thought Jesus would cramp his lifestyle. He'd make his life miserable. There are people who still think that. They think so wrongly about Jesus. Every year at the porn convention, we'll have a guy and gal come by our booth, and the gal will get interested in our Bibles and our stuff and start looking, and he will jerk her going, don't you cramp our lifestyle, man. We didn't come here for this. We come here to get lusted up. I don't want you to see that religious stuff. Oh, they're so wrong. It was 2 years ago that someone said they went to the men's bathroom and they came out and there was a guy in there. He's mad. He was throwing stuff. He said, I brought my sweetheart, man, to this convention to get her all jazzed up on lust and stuff. And she went by that stupid religious booth and now she wants to go home. Yeah. If people only knew how fantastic it is to live with Jesus. He never said he would take all of our problems away. He said that he would go through them with us. And he would be close by. This last year, I decided to buy myself a pickup. And I went down and bought me a Ford F-150 four-wheel drive. Before I went down and bought it, I do this very often, no matter what I'm buying. I laid out a list of the advantages and disadvantages, and I thought, to buy a pickup four-wheel drive, first of all, I can haul things that I can't haul in my car. I can haul, if my wife wants a dresser, or she wants, if I want to get a gun safe or a tall clock, can't do that in my car. I looked at the other advantages. I thought another advantage is I can haul dirt or gravel from my backyard. I can throw manure in there because I can just shovel it out. And you can't throw manure in your Honda. I can go hunting. And if I kill something, I can throw it in the back there and I can just wash it out when I get home. If I go fishing, I can throw the fish back there and spray it out when I get home, spread the bed out. It drives like a car. And I put all the advantages. And I put in the disadvantage thing. I thought, well, they're kind of harder to park, harder to get in my garage. That's like the only disadvantage I had. So I looked at all the advantages, looked at the disadvantage, and I thought, I'm buying me a truck. Living for Jesus, I get to go to heaven forever and ever and ever. I get the Holy Spirit living in my body that helps me with everything. I have guardian angels. I have angels at my disposal. I have the gift of prayer, authority over demons, wisdom from God that leads me and guides me. I have peace and joy. Romans 8:28, everything bad that happens to me, God causes something good to come out of it. Even death, something good comes out of it. I go on and on and on. That's the advantage of living for God. What's the disadvantage? Only one. Temporary pleasure of sin. You lose. Temporary pleasure of sin. That goes in the negative column. Look at Hebrews 11:24-25. It says, but by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now, during that time, people were slaves. That's not true today. But how foolish could a person be? Again, I use that illustration very often, and I probably will continue to use it because I have so many non-believers on Christmas and Easter. But if I took a tape measure and laid it here and stretched it all the way back to New York City and took a quarter, eighth of an inch out, that's your life in the here and now. And during that little bitty life here in the now, only very little of that time do you get any temporary pleasure of sin. People are going to sacrifice living forever and ever for a 15-minute high on drugs, for a 10-minute high of an immoral illicit affair that only comes ever once in a while. Oh, I'm telling you, gang, it's just a smart business transaction to give your life to Jesus, if nothing else. I'm going to live for the Lord. Now, in Ventura, our study 2 weeks ago was in 1 Timothy, and we read this verse, chapter 2, verse 6, the first part. It says, Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. Can I reframe that story? Let me make this very practical. I'm going to make up a story. Let's say next year in the summer you decide to take a vacation at some exotic island where they had their own government. They were just really, really, you know, off the beaten path. And you go to this island, and while you're there, you know, you're going to the beach one day with your family, and you drive by an old beat up gas station, and behind the gas station, back by the trash bins, there's a man abusing a child. And you go, what? He's abusing a child, and you jump out and you're mad, and you push him real hard, and before you know it, you're giving him a good old-fashioned butt-whipping, man, because you're angry. And you don't mean to, but you kill him. Authorities come, they throw the handcuffs on you, and they drag you off. And they say, we're going to charge you with murder, excessive force. And you go, but I didn't do, doesn't matter. That's the laws of our land. And then you find out that the guy who is abusing the child is a major, big-time, influential thug in that land. He gives a lot of money to the politicians and everything. And so you have your trial. And they say, guilty, excessive force. And in our land, you're going to die by hanging because you killed that man. So you sit in that jail cell for 700-800 days waiting. You're hanging, and you're thinking about your children, your spouse back home. You're thinking about Christmas and how you wanted to be there, and you're thinking, how are they getting money? I don't know. And you're just depressed in this deep depression every day waiting to be hung. And then one day, the warden comes to your jail cell, and he opens the cell, and he says, you're free to go. What? He says, you don't understand this maybe, but a man named Samuel came to us 2 months ago. We never told you. He said he wanted to take your place. And in this land, we have a law that says he can do that. This man that we didn't even know named Samuel said that he had heard some things about you, and he knew you were a very good man. And he knew that you were a loving man and that you had several kids back home. He said he knew that your wife was missing you a lot. And we hung Samuel 3 hours ago, and you're free. Now, as silly as that sounds, would you ever let anybody talk bad about this man named Samuel? No way. Would you, if you could find a picture of him, would you hang it up on your wall? And when someone said, who is that? You would tell the story about him. You would be loyal to that man if he had any family members. You wouldn't think twice, would you? Well, I want you to know, Jesus Christ, if you were the only person in the world, he would have come and died for you. God would have sent him for one of you. If you were the only person there. When we read that story about leaving the 99 and going to the one, that's kind of what it says. Among other things, that you're the one. And if you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. You know, most Christians have never opened all their presents. I'd say 90-some percent of the Christians have a lot of presents under the tree that they've never opened. Well, they've opened the one, the Holy Spirit, and they're saved. But here's another one. Some of you never open. It's authority over spirits of darkness. You know, Ephesians 6 and 12 tries to tell us our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against principality. Some people have never opened this gift. They've never opened up this badge of authority that you can wear over spirits. I wouldn't know how to live without that gift. I wouldn't be standing here today if I didn't open that gift. Another gift a lot of Christians haven't opened is a gift that it says, this is for you, Ron. It's a special number for angels. You can call them anytime you want, and they'll be at your disposal. The Bible tried to tell us that angels are sent out as helping, ministering spirits for those who are going to inherit salvation. I couldn't live if I had not opened this present years ago. I have to call upon angelic help very, very often. Another gift that a lot of you have never opened is a gift of prayer. It says prayer, and there's an instruction manual inside of here. Again, it's my opinion that 90% of the people in the Christian world do not know how to pray. If they knew how to pray, they would see answers to prayer. And once they saw answers to prayer, they would never stop praying. But so many people do not know how to pray. There's an instruction manual we teach here. If I had not opened this gift here, I wouldn't be alive today. I would have died of leukemia or the prostate cancer. But I'll tell you what, I opened that gift and I know how to pray. And then the last one, I could have many, but I just chose four, is a gift of wisdom. You don't have to go through any trial without getting wisdom from God. If you will go to the altar and spend time there, he will lead you and guide you, and you will not fail in your endeavors. Amen. Some of you never opened that present. Well, I want to do two things in closing. Number one, I want us to get back to the real meaning of Christmas. And I want to show you this video. Rod did show it Wednesday night, but I'm going to show it again. Here's the real meaning of Christmas. Take a look at this, and we'll come back and show you another one in a minute.
I've never done this before, but I did this. I'm making this for myself. I was just working today, Christmas Eve. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And a customer comes and gets me and tells me that there is a young man who is stealing stuff. And he has his pockets bulging and tells me what he looks like. And I go out and I see him, of course, and he's got stuff bulging out of his pant pockets and his sweatshirt. And I approached him and said, you know, do you need help with anything? Are you doing okay? And he said, yeah. And he just looked distraught. And he started for the door. And I said, sir, please don't leave. And he walked out the door. So I followed him to the sidewalk. And I thought, okay, you're not supposed to follow him any farther than that. So I stopped. And then I went around the corner. And he was standing in his next to the his truck. So I went to take a picture of his license plate. And he said, he came back and stood in front of it. And he said, please don't do that. Please don't do that. And I said, well, I will call the police if you don't give me my merchandise back. I said, I don't care about what's going on. I said, just give me my merchandise back. And he said, will you please not call the police? And I said, if you bring it in and you let me have the merchandise, then we'll call it even. And he said, okay. He said, but can we do it someplace where people don't stare at me? And I said, sure, we'll go over in the corner. So it went over there, and I got two baskets, and he started pulling out merchandise. And he pulled out toys and candy and Christmas items and bows and tape and a couple little decorations. And I said, is this stuff for your kids for Christmas? And he teared up, and he said, yeah, I don't have any money to get them anything. And I said, how many kids do you have? And he said, 3. And he said, well, I have 2, but I'm also taking care of my nephew. I said, okay. So he kept pulling things out. And I had 2 carry baskets full. And I said, okay, follow me. And he just kind of looked at me funny, but he followed me up. And I went up to the checkouts, and I had Sue at the checkouts ring everything up for him. And I said, I'm going to get this stuff for you because I don't want you to go to jail on Christmas Eve. I don't want your kids to be devastated that you're not there for Christmas, and I don't want you to go to another store and get yourself in trouble. I just don't want that to happen. And I was fine. I didn't cry or anything. I was so calm. And then he went over and sat down by the window, and he started to cry. So we rang him up, and it was about $75 worth. And then a lady behind him, I don't think she knew really what was going on, but she said, do you need some other things? And he said, no. And he was crying. He said, no, I'm fine. And she took him into the store. She said, let's go buy some other things. I don't know how much she ended up buying for him, but she went through and she got him some things. And when that young man left, his arms were full of packages and wrapping paper. And he came over, and I didn't want to be there when he left because I didn't want to make a big scene about it, make him feel bad. But he came over to the office, and he knocked on the door, and he was crying. And he said, thank you so much for doing this for me. He said, I can't believe this has happened. And his name is Sean. And I said, Sean, please. I said, please don't do anything on Christmas Eve to go to jail. I said, just go home and wrap your gifts. And I had a $25 gift card in my purse for a friend for Walmart. And I said one more thing. I said, I gave him a gift card, and I said, go to Walmart and get you something for Christmas dinner. I said, I don't know what your situation is, but surely you can pick up something. And he cried and he left. He said, I just can't believe this is happening. And he left. And if my assistant had not been late, I would have missed this completely. I would have missed this opportunity. And I don't want anyone to ever tell me there's not a God. There is a God. And he works in the most amazing way. And he's touched me today out of the blue. And I'm not even a real religious person, but you can feel it in your heart. That's all there is to it. You feel it in your heart. Merry Christmas.
I'm not trying to poo-poo on Christmas the way we do it now. I think the Christmas trees are great. I think the stockings are great. I think all that's great. But there's room to bring Jesus back into. There's room for both. We don't have to go one way or the other. I know my family's all busy in ministry. Some of them are in Las Vegas, some are in Ventura. Debbie and I have evening to ourselves. And I went out and purchased some gift cards, certificate. I'm gonna go out today and just kind of be Jesus. I'm looking for the poorest people I can find. And don't give me a hand. We could all do that. Just get a little bit. Years ago, I started the Phantom Santa with another guy here. He's hopefully continuing to do it. He came to me years ago, a guy used to go here, and he says, I have nothing to do with Christmas. I have no family. I said, well, let's start something called Phantom Santa. And I think he's still doing it. But I went out, had nothing to do with Christmas, so we just bought a bunch of presents and went around looking for the poorest houses in Bakersfield and dropped them off. Again, that's the way we're to live, okay? And so I don't know what you got out of today. Tonight, we're going to have a video that even shows this, but there's still time to write out a Christmas card to somebody. There's still time just to look at somebody and say, hey, I didn't get a lot, didn't spend a lot this year, but man, I love you. I love you. That's huge. Let me pray this right here. Father God, I know we have thousands of watching on the internet. We got people all over their campuses. And Lord, for some of them, it's time to change the way they're doing life. We don't need to do life like the world does it. Lord, it's time. I'll be doing a prophecy update in a few weeks. It's time. If you're here today and you have the courage to say, I don't care what people think around me. It's my life. I need to get right with God. Would you just lift your hand and put it down? Everybody say, Lord God, today I'm giving up. I'm not going to fight it anymore. I've given my life to you. Send the Holy Spirit. Come into my body. Live inside of me. And give me the power I need and the help I need to start following Jesus. I will choose to believe that when I walk out of here today, I'm not the same person that came in. I'm going home with Jesus in my body. And I'm going to let the journey start. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.